And with barely 48 hours to go before the US officially defaults on its debt, politicians appear close to striking a deal just in the nick of time. The optimism came from Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who said earlier today, and I quote, "We are very close." A senior Democratic Senator, Charles Schumer, was also optimistic.
Let's put it like this. I feel a lot better today about the ability to avoid default than I did even yesterday morning, and default would have such disastrous consequences to our nation for a decade to come. The fact that the leaders are talking, even if I'm sure hardly anyone agrees with everything they're going to come up with, is a good thing.
That's one Democratic Senator, Charles Schumer. As Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid entered talks with fellow Democrats, he told a reporter that despite progress, there was, quote, still a ways to go. Glenn Thrush is senior correspondent with Politico.com, and he joins you now from Washington, D.C. Glenn, welcome to ABC Radio National Breakfast.
Hi.
Glenn, how close is a deal?
Well, it depends on who you talk to and the phase of the moon. we've been very close several times, so we're a little bit jaded. But I think the proximity of the abyss here is really motivating people, and I would say that we are quite close, at least in terms of a framework I'm hearing, both on the Democratic and Republican side. But remember, the wild card here has always been House of Representatives Republicans, and they have not yet signed off on this.
Okay, so when we say quite close to what? What is the shape of this framework or compromise?
Well, it's a little bit of everything. It's the smorgasbord of legislative compromises. It is a roughly $3 trillion 10-year deal that would include an initial $1 trillion in discretionary domestic and defense spending cuts. And then Congress would defer the tough decisions, $1.8 trillion in additional cuts, to a committee made up equally of Democrats and Republicans, split between the Senate and House, that would produce a binding proposal for that additional $1.8 trillion, meaning it would bypass all the arcane legislative procedures and go directly for floor votes in either House. That's a big deal, particularly in the Senate, where you need 60 votes to bring anything to the floor.
Okay, it's a big deal because it's more manageable, but if it's evenly split, this committee, between Democrats and Republicans, couldn't things just get as locked there?
Well, that's the key here. To make things even more complicated, if that committee deadlocks, they would create a trigger, and the trigger would be a menu of mandatory cuts that would be taken out of Congress's hands. It would essentially be part of the law that would be so unpalatable to these people that it would force them to do compromises. Deep cuts to discretionary programs, potentially deep cuts to defense, and here's where the heated debate still occurs, the possibility of revenue increases. This is the anathema to Republicans in both houses. We're talking about closing tax loopholes and raising some tax rates on the rich. So what's being fought over right now is what we've been fighting over for the past 6 months. Will Republicans accept even the suggestion of a tax increase?
But as it stands, the deal that you've just outlined to us there, if that is the framework, roughly $3 trillion over 10 years, for a start, that's less than the president, much less than the president was going for originally. But it's all cuts. It's no revenue increases. That means the Republicans have ultimately won this argument, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And that has really been what's been shaping up over the past 6 weeks. And, you know, Democrats are accusing, once again, the Obama administration of caving into this small group of Tea Party Republicans. Look, the president has lost this policy battle. Lost this policy battle last fall when he lost the House of Representatives and decided to adopt budget and deficit cutting as his primary domestic agenda item. So we are in a position here where the Republicans are calling the tune on policy. However, on the politics of this, the Republicans have looked awfully bad, awfully petty, and awfully reckless. And the Democrats hope that the political gains that they'll extract from this entire debacle will be enough to help them regain some seats and therefore give the president some more power after 2012.
How do you see the politics of this once the dust has settled? I mean, as you say, will it matter if it gets through, if there is no a trigger here, and if every American gets their pay next week, just as they always have, if all that go smoothly in the end? Will it matter if the president didn't get what he was originally wanting in terms of the people? Or will he pay a price for that? Will it feed into what was a problem for him some time ago, this perception that he wasn't a strong president?
Well, back in the 2008 campaign, which I have to say I covered exhaustively, there was a New York Times columnist who referred to him as Old Bambi, and that is a reputation that has really stuck. But look, I think the Republicans are really buying for themselves a time bomb. Social Security and Medicare are regarded as the third rail in American politics, to mix my metaphors. This is really something. Cutting Medicare and Social Security is horrendously unpopular with independents and even some Republicans. And essentially, the entire Republican Party is now 100% invested in the notion that a lot of this deficit reduction needs to take place with seniors and middle-class people, and that is a very difficult position politically for them.
So they might have won the policy argument in the Congress, but in fact they'll wear the odium for that in the electorate. Glenn, can you just make it clear to us what the actual deadline is? I think there is some room to manoeuvre. The Tuesday deadline isn't a hard deadline, doesn't necessarily mean that if that deadline passes, public servants or soldiers won't get paid.
Exactly. It's not a stroke of midnight thing. I think the one area where some specificity is important is in the issuance of credit default swaps, you know, bets against default. But in terms of the actual operation of the government, no, there is no hard deadline. And in fact, we are told that the government probably has enough revenue in terms of tax collections to push us through for several days. And remember, there's always the possibility that if small details need to be ironed out, we could actually have a 1 or 2 week extension.
It's 13 past 8 on Breakfast. Our guest this morning is Glenn Rush. He's a senior correspondent with Politico.com in Washington. And past 6, I beg your pardon, I'm a little rusty here, Glenn. Glenn, Congress has been sitting around the clock or being prepared to sit around the clock. What's the mood there amongst congressmen and women who must be pretty weary by now, not to mention everyone else in that infrastructure?
Well, I think it's a little bit like a new marriage, right? It's both boring and terrifying simultaneously, and I think it has really worn people down. And like everything else in Washington, we have these epic battles, and the real momentum for getting this done, apart from the financial cataclysm, is just the sheer exhaustion of having dealt with this one issue for so long. So I think the sense here is just get this thing passed, and let's move on with our lives.
And how quickly do you think that this will actually be signed off on?
Well, allegedly, the Senate leadership, Senate's Democratic leadership, has said that there could be a vote as early as today, and the House, I am told, has been preparing for the possibility of votes as early as tomorrow. Certainly, the action has to begin legislatively within the next 24 hours in order to beat the Tuesday deadline.
And as you say, the House of Reps, Republicans, are the one to watch. You're not expecting a last-minute ambush there?
Who knows? I mean, that is the thing. House Speaker John Boehner, as you know, keeps getting ambushed by his Tea Party conservatives. There's been two or three times where we thought we had the framework of a deal, and he's come back and said no dice. And he is on a conference call right about now trying to sell this plan to folks. The different dynamic here, however, is in the previous votes, Boehner wanted to get all 230 or so of his Republican members to pass this without a single Democratic vote, almost as a show of his authority. This time, the mix is much likely to be far more bipartisan, and Boehner's much less ambitious objective here is to get half of his own conference and fill out the rest of the yeas with Democrats.
Everyone's ambitions being scaled back. Glenn, thanks very much for joining
us. Take care.
Glenn Thrush, he's a senior writer with Politico.com, joining us there from Washington, D.C. It's 16 past 6.